Morning, everybody. I was talking to a friend, and you know, we all have our emojis and different things on our phones, and there's some that you can make look like you. I have a couple. One, my latest one, I call Richtofer Milo, and it's me with a mohawk, of course, I'm all gray, so that's cute. That's a lot of laughs and funny. In my original one and in my set, I noticed something come up on my, you know, they're always popping up and you start to text and you get all these, you know, suggestions. Here, use this emoji. And I saw one with me carrying a garbage bag, and the garbage bag said 2019, like, you know, 2019 stinks. And I was talking to a friend, and it's like, yeah, boy, I'm glad 2019's over. And I laughed. I said, yeah, I just saw that. I saw an emoji, you know, whatever. But I have to tell you, I personally have had an amazing year. And what's been amazing about it is the revelations that I've gotten. And the revelations we get, like, you all know, and this is supposed to be normal Christian life, that we function on revelation, and that we receive, that the spirit of revelation is on us, and that what we minister comes out of true revelation. Otherwise, it's a religious spirit, and we're all about rules and do's and don'ts and finding fault in people and things. It's funny where that goes. But the heart of God, by giving His Holy Spirit, is that through His Word, and I really want to advocate this thing of memorizing Scripture, getting back to that. We just need to stir that up in one another. I want to see more and more of that. I have some ideas about just really bringing it to the forefront. Katrina came and Malcolm came and shared with us a few weeks ago. How many of you heard Katrina share about memorizing Scripture? She did an amazing job. That's Samuel Brothers' fiance. I mean, it's really good, and it should be on the podcast. She handled that so well. And when I met her, or when I talked to her about this, I'm listening to her. I'm like, oh my gosh, Katrina, like, this is so good. And her revelation in it, and how powerful it is. And I know that the scriptures that I learned when I was young, I still have them. And I do thank my Baptist heritage for that. They had us memorizing scripture early on, like Psalms 1, Psalms 40, you know, different Ephesians, Romans, the Romans Road. I have all those. They're packed and tucked away, and it takes just a little bit to spur, and then they're there. And when you've memorized them, then you get revelation on them. They belong to you, man. They're in your tool belt. And you just got them, and you pull them out, and they're there. They guide your way. And it's, I will say this, it's actually abnormal for us to not have a lot of Scripture memorized. That's actually abnormal for the church. And we are, I made a comment about our phones. They are making us, our minds, lazy. Beware. Be careful. It's thinking for you. It's shopping for you now. And I've heard several of you talk about all of a sudden something shows up on your phone, and you just talked about this that day or the day before. Scary stuff. That little thing is at work. It's busy. So be careful, beware, be mindful. But what I want to say today is don't let it do all your thinking for you, because there's an activity of all of our body, and our minds are no different. Use it or lose it. And memorize and learn things, and because that's when the real meditation takes place. And even if it's hard for you to memorize, understand you're meditating. And you keep looking back at a scripture and looking back at the phrases, and you go over it, and you go over it, and you go over it. That is bringing life to us. And man, that's, I enjoyed maybe the most of all the many things I enjoyed about Katrina when she shared was this girl is full of life. And she's just been filling herself with scripture for a long time. But she doesn't have that religious legalistic spirit about her. That's huge. It is in her and it's life to her. And she came to a point in that where she had to switch up and start doing it for the right reason. And that's what's so powerful about her testimony. And when she did that, she starts, like, it starts to really impact her life and affect her. So we've had so many great, awesome things this year, things that have taken place. And I want to make a statement. I've tried to be careful with this, but it's also appropriate for me as a pastor, as a Christian leader. I want to be very, very clear. I still love my president. I've made a covenant with President Trump in my heart. I've never done that with a leader before. I believe so much in the fact that God called him and who he is. He is a warrior. He's fighting a war in the White House. It is a war. It is a life and death struggle. It's not a joke. And he does things on purpose, even the things that offend you. Because he is at work and he's not having people assassinated. Don't think that other leaders have not had that happen, have not done that. They have done that. This man is the most powerful man on the planet right now. And for good, he is affecting the entire world. And if you'll open your eyes to see what's going on all around the world, I just saw another clip in Hong Kong where they're fighting for their liberties because China wants to take them back over again. And I don't understand all the details of it, but I know they had a mass. There's a mass crowd with American flags and a stand-up person of Donald Trump standing there like a mannequin of him, like only it's not for fun, and they're singing, I think, the Star Spangled Banner. Was that the song, Phyllis? And yeah, it was like they're singing our anthems, our songs, because of this. They're energized and motivated and crying out for freedom and liberty. And many, many countries, and especially the people of these countries, are crying out again for nationalism, for their own country. And they're thanking our president for the stand because they're all people are struggling with this thing. And our president, while all this attack is going on, has appointed now, I think he's up to 187 appointments of conservative judges, 50 of which are lifetime federal judges. And we have this cry, nothing ever happens. It can't, because our judicial system is so corrupt. As you see, our FBI was so corrupt. Our CIA is so corrupt that nothing can get done. And this has been building and building and building. Do not fall into the play. And I'm very disheartened to hear Christians that are against the president. And for this impeachment, oh my God, what are you thinking? Open your eyes. I'm adamant about it. I'll try not to make a big deal about it, except as for me and my house, I will fly my little flag, and I mean it with all my heart. I am for him. On his good days, on his bad days, and whatever else happens, like there's a purpose and a place. Dwayne?
May I make a statement about President Trump?
You may. You may. You may. You may. Get the facts, folks. Get good information. And I heard someone else just talking again that our mainstream media, we've fallen into this so bad. Do you realize the only news that you knew of was new? The only stories that you knew was what was presented on NBC, ABC, the networks. It's all you knew. There was a lot of other things going on. Do you know this about Ukraine? That there is an agreement signed just before President Trump came around with the country of Ukraine that we would exchange information and help each other rout out corruption. There's a document. There's an agreement in place. So when he asked Zelensky for that help, that was very, very appropriate because we have agreement for that. Does anybody mention that? No. So we have got to, with our Christianity, I don't want to become political. I never want to become political. I want to be sensitive to people, and I want to have compassion for all people, but I will not be silent. And if I trigger you by what I believe in, sorry. At some point, you have to come to that. It's like, okay, I'll be sensitive to you, but I will not compromise who I am, what I believe, and why I believe it. I have a story for why I have the convictions I do. Do you have a story if you're opposing that? Do you have a story for those convictions? Do you have a story? I have a story. I have a story that I can tell the story of where I went from not even caring for the man when I saw him on TV to now being at this place. There's a story. It's the story all of us. We have a testimony. We have a story of why we believe in Jesus, why you came to where you come. You should have a story that goes from 0 to 60, that goes from the beginning to present. What's your story? How does that tell? So I want to say that. I want to bless him. We want to continue to pray for his protection, for his family, and for the First Lady. She's probably the classiest First Lady that we've ever had in my lifetime. Unlikely, but she is. She's the one that she carries this class. Totally, totally ignored, rudely interrupted. I saw she spoke. She's like against drugs and trying to help people with the opioid crisis. And she speaks at somewhere on the East Coast, Baltimore, at a youth conference. And there's some cheers. But there's a lot of boos from this young group. And she just stands her ground and says, "I'm doing this for you. I'm trying to help you in the face of this very offensive stuff." So she's just top notch. She's part of the Patriots and part of what's going on. And I mean, even Ronald Reagan's wife was not good. She was into tarot cards and spiritualism. So yeah. And the pedophilia stuff, the Satanism that's going to come out about a lot of our celebrities, that is run rampant in our. We're going to go through some rough times, and the rough times are going to be us learning and seeing things. It's going to be some disturbing stuff, and it is coming. William Barr is coming. Durham is coming. They are coming. They're coming hard. They're coming with facts. They're coming with truth. They're coming with justice, and it's coming. And now there's been a flip with these federal judges and prosecutors. And now when these people end up in those places, they're not going to get a get-out-of-jail-free pass. And so there are going to be some serious things. I've always thought this from the beginning, that like, I want to caution all of you, especially those of you that can get cranked up like I can. Remember Sodom and Gomorrah, remember Lot, and remember Lot's wife. Be careful what you look back at, especially when the Lord starts to instruct us not to look at the judgment that's coming, because judgment's going to come. And we just need to stay close to the heart of God and how we handle that. We don't need to gloat over anything. We need to keep our hearts in check. We need to stay close to Jesus through that time. So it's not if it's coming, it's when it comes. You be careful how you talk about it. Be careful how you interact with other people about it. Stay humble, stay low, stay in this place that Jesus has called us to. And meanwhile, you must love everybody. We must maintain that. We must maintain every people group. I mean, I've had an awakening this year even about the Muslim people. I mean, it's tough. It's like, wow, they all hate us. If they got half a chance, they'd kill all of us. And then we've learned this story about the fastest growing church on the planet is the people of Iran. The mosques are closed because the people are so disheartened with their religion. They realize what it was and what it is. And Jesus has been appearing to them. And there are people, many ministers that have been tapping into it. Leif Hetland is one of the leaders early on that was leading. Was he up to a million people that he led to the Lord through his ministry, Muslims that he led to the Lord? And it wasn't popular. Are Christians that didn't like that. Come on, people, like, let's get this straight. Jesus, we sing the songs, but the reality is he loves everybody. And Phyllis said this morning. Phyllis, as I was like, after I was done with practice, I'm walking right up. I remember exactly where I was. I'm walking up the aisle, and I'm thinking, boy, I want her to share this. What was the phrase? What's righteousness look like? Because we've been interacting at home, and she says this. She goes, and she started to get this revelation. So we just have these little chats about it, and she'll make a statement. And this is what righteous looks like. What does righteousness look like? This is righteousness. And you go, yeah, we don't think of these things. You know, our good marriage is righteousness manifest. Our good relationships, when you love when it was difficult, that's righteousness. And I'm like, I was thinking, boy, I need to just, I'll be like, she's like, I want to share about this. Like, yeah, you should share about this. Then I'll be like, you want to share about that Sunday? No, not this Sunday. Yeah, it's like, okay. And I'm thinking as I'm walking by the aisle, I might just say, hey girl, you're sharing this, you know, you're going to share this next week. So I loved it that you just got up. That was like, helps me to know that I'm on track. So, yeah, Jesus confirms. I've had a great year of revelations. I want to touch on things because I think I've gotten born again 3 times and revived once or twice on that. I mean, I know it sounds so funny, and it is funny, but it's so serious. It was so, these steps and these touches from the Lord were that impactful. And we have this, I don't know, we're like chilling out in the Spirit and finally letting go like this, because the Spirit is releasing us from like a lot of the heaviness that, especially, I always refer to Phyllis because we're like, we carry this thing, you know? And it's like, it's the baggage. It's like we got a trunk full of rocks, you know, that we're always dragging around. And if you're not careful, the heaviness impacts and affects everything. And then all of a sudden you lighten up and people go, oh, I never saw you like that before. We were at Pam and Kurt's last night, and we were just playing. We ate, and they invited us over, a couple of families and couples, and it was really neat. And we played some games, which is not my favorite thing. Like, oh, games. Gee, that's tough, you know. Like, I can do this. I can do this. I can cooperate with Pam's games. Like, Pam's games are even, like, you know, more challenging than any, you know, for me. And I'm like, I'm making it, and I'm doing it, and, you know, I'm there. And then pretty soon, I actually, you know, get loosened up and start joking with Alan DeMuth. And if you know Alan can be this, you know, sober-looking guy that can be the funniest comedian on the planet, you know. And so it's his dry humor, whatever. We were just, and Pam looked around, and she goes, I don't think I've ever seen you like this. It's like, well, I've had a couple moments. But it's sad that we carry this seriousness, and we have to guard against this. Life has been tough, and there's wounds, and there's always something to carry. I'm carrying some burdens right now, but I'm managing them that are for other people. They're not even my thing. But you know about things with people that you love and care about, and it's there, right? It just is. It's okay, But we've got to be aware of that. We don't accomplish anything by carrying it in ourselves. Jesus is the only one that can fix it. So just letting it bog us down, like, I'm worried, you know, then we use the prayer word. Like, we'll start sharing prayer requests, and it's more venting about things that are really heavy, you know. Like, just be careful with that. Like, if you have that burden, just pray. You don't have to share it with somebody. You don't necessarily have to share. Just be aware of that. And pretty soon, we're a whole group of puddle glums because we've come and we've shared all of our burdens, and there's no real faith to pray for any of it. So there, we've done it. We call it a prayer meeting because we talked about it, you know? Like, no, it can't be that. It can't be that. Or we tell God about something he already knows about. Like, I think at the end of those, the Spirit would be like, yeah, but what are you going to do about it? Like, you got the power. You told me about what the problem is, but you got the power. You got the power to make a declaration. You got the power to send a declaration to heaven, declare something on the earth, and bring that down here. That's it, sons and daughters, with a ring and a seal, with permission granted to do our Father's business. Do it. Dad, you know, I mean, I remember the days on the farm, and I was so, when Rob and I were left alone to run the dairy farm and do things, like, Dad would go away, or not a lot, but once in a while. When he did, you always were anticipating the return, and you were taking care of things, and there was a lot at that time to take care of, a lot of things, and just were conscious of that. And you wanted him to have a good vacation, so you don't want to be calling. And, well, we didn't have the ability to call because it was before cell phones or whatever. So, you know, they were just off the grid, you know, which was a good thing. We needed to take care of business, and we had the authority to take care of business. And if we needed fuel or feed, or we could get it. We just had access to it. We had authority to run the place while he was gone. And when he came back, if we went, oh, I couldn't do that because, you know, I didn't want to buy fuel while you weren't here. He'd be like, huh? Just order it. We've got an account. I didn't want to, you know, do this, you know, you weren't here. He'd be like, but you've got the keys. You've got the truck. You've got the, you know, you've got the equipment. You've got the thing. Do it. And we've got to have that with, like, the Lord. Realize what you have. And prayer, let prayer be declaration and understand. Step up, man. Step up like sons and daughters. I had this revelation this year of communion. Wow. Hey, Rick, thanks for catching up with all of us. But honestly, it was about dealing with my independence. Because I was still realizing I'm still so independent. I'm still too self-sufficient. I'm still not relying on Jesus for everything. There are things I pray a lot about, and then there are things I'll do it myself. That's funny. Why would I do that? And I came to this point in this place through, I don't know, just the Spirit working. Click, click, click. He puts things in place. Start praying the right prayers, and the Lord starts, through the Holy Spirit, starts orchestrating things in your life, and he'll move you. Just be patient. Just wait on the Lord. What's wait on the Lord mean? The word wait from Psalms 27 means to entangle and to weave your heart with Jesus' heart. Like, it's not a passive thing. It's an active thing where you're entangling yourself like a rope is weaved together. And you weave your heart to his. And so I realized that I just had this, like, epiphany. Communion is a prophetic act. So there's still something about it I was not, I mean, you know, we don't want to confess that we don't know what we're doing when we take communion, because after all, you're the pastor and you should know this. But, I mean, I had the head knowledge about it. I had all that stuff. I'm a good little Baptist boy. We've been doing communion a long time. as religiously as we could. But all of a sudden, I had this revelation, it's a prophetic act. It's a prophetic act of receiving Jesus as often as I can. I think there's language in the scripture. As often as. And on a much, much, much more regular basis, we take communion, and it has it's mostly about me going, I need you. I need you to think. I need you to talk. I need you to function. I need you to when I go. I need you when I stay. I need you. Left to myself, I am prone to screw it up. I need you. It was an act of truly coming, and it just changed. Just like it's like when you get a revelation of why you pray for your meal and pray before meals and pray for your, you know, when you realize you sanctify it by giving thanks. Well, we better sanctify it, you know. Might get E. coli or Ebola or whatever, you know, one of those. Because there's really a power in giving thanks and setting things apart to the Lord. Like, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. And so I had this revelation, and it has changed my approach to the Lord, to just declare that I need and I'm receiving the finished work of Christ every day, anytime, for anything. If I want to get more control over my eating habits, I take communion. I just take communion. Like, this is when I overeat and eat when I shouldn't eat, you know, late at night, doing whatever. I've done something and I come home and I'm like, bzz, I'm buzzing. And I'm like, then I start eating whatever. You're like, ah, why'd you do that? Come home and like, no, I'm taking communion. I'm going to take communion. I'm going to receive from the Lord whatever my thing is that I need right now. Whole new approach to it. Then I had an encounter. I had a realization that I did not have the revelation about Jesus, the Son, that I needed to. I was praying to the Father. I was praying to the Holy Spirit. I was avoiding Jesus. You know how you avoid somebody in the room? No, you wouldn't. Anyways, we just went through the holidays. Any relatives you avoid? Like, you know, bad. And I realized I wasn't flowing with Jesus, the person of Jesus. They're three, they're one, they're three, they're one, they're three, they're one. I don't comprehend it, but that's the truth. I'm convinced of it. I'll catch over the revelation of that, the full revelation, sometime after I get to heaven, hopefully. It's a phenomena. It's amazing. And they interwork and they work together. But you don't want to have an issue with one of the three. You really don't. And I began to pray a prayer I hadn't prayed. I want to encounter Jesus. I want to encounter you. I don't know what that'll look like. I'm not mandating it. But it's a big deal that I start asking for it. And I'm sure heaven went, yeah, I don't believe, we don't have any record of you ever asking that for, Rick. Why would you not want to meet Jesus? Because I hear these other people, Bobby Connors, Kevin Zadi, who else were we, David Hogan and people that are with him, and he has the stories and all these, and they're encountering Jesus and they're never the same. All these Muslims seeing the man in white, I'm like, hey, I wouldn't mind seeing the man in white. That probably wouldn't hurt me a bit. That might be a little bit impactful, maybe, you think? And here we are. It's part of our American culture. We're so darn independent. We're so, like, if we can't buy it or purchase it or go to school for it or whatever, like, it's not really real. And our need level, we reach for the cabinet for something or for the credit card or for the whatever. Like, we have all these other things that we reach for to supply our needs. We're not needy enough, maybe? I don't know. But it's a great thing. I love all that stuff, honestly. I'm still thankful for the, you know, ibuprofen and whatever when I need it, and, you know, a this and a that, and, you know, the credit card. It's all nice. It's great. I don't want to lose it. I like having a car and a way to get here and there. I like all that. But I want to move Jesus to that place of preeminence where he's my source in everything. He's my supply in everything. That when I'm feeling an emptiness inside, I don't fill it with something that's carnal, that's empty. I won't fill it with more emptiness. I like carbonated drinks, like no sugar, of course. However, it's still like fake water. I still like it, but it's fake water, like it's fake substance. A lot of that is bubbles. It's probably not as good for us as we'd like to think it is. I want to encounter Jesus, and I started praying for that, and I started reading. And until I get a face-to-face, and that may happen, and I don't know when that'll happen, but until or whatever, and in whatever way, I started reading and looking for Jesus like never before, and wow, started jumping off the pages. I realized through reading something, I shared this as one of my messages, that I wasn't sure I could answer the question, have I ever had the love of God poured out on my heart? That's very like, and then I'm trying to give the love of God, but I'm not sure I've ever experienced the love of God. Like, and we receive that through the Holy Spirit. So, and I've had a lot of anointings and things, and it's part of it. But I started to look, and I realized the normal experience of the believer in the New Testament had experienced the love of God poured out on their hearts, and that makes for different believers. You look different. You act different when you're a person that's just had the love of God poured out on your heart, liquid love, like, boom, here, take this, boom. I'm just thinking that's amazing. And I'm putting myself in a position where by faith I'm believing for that, looking for that, waiting for that, and praying that prayer. Praying the prayer. Praying the prayer has opened up doors. I told you, I started getting gifts. Now, that is not what I was looking for. I wasn't looking for gifts. I wasn't looking for prosperity. That was not on the radar. And all of a sudden, these sweet gifts in all kinds of forms start dropping into my life, and I wasn't thinking about, but I was praying this prayer. And it was one way of the love of God being poured out on my heart. And I was so blessed by it. And then I forget, and I start to, you know, the hardness starts set in, the worry starts to set in, and the anxiety starts to set in. And I, whoa, back up, back it up, Jack. Lord, pour your love out on me. I'm full of anxiety. The stress is starting to build again. I'm picking up things like, I just need to pray this prayer. Let your love be poured out on my heart. And man, it just puts all the stuff. You go, there, I prayed that prayer. And it changes you just praying. Just believing it can come. We had Romans 5:5, it says, and this is the Passion Translation, this hope is not a disappointing fantasy because we can now experience the endless love of God cascading into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Now there would be a church service, eh? What happened at church? The love of God cascading over our hearts, and we were all puddles on the floor. Like, wow, look at that. Judgment gone, stuff gone, worries gone, disease gone, sickness gone. And we're just like, boom. I think we should believe for it. Why not? It's got to be better than all this stress and worry. Got to be. Psalms 51, one of my favorite psalms. And man, you want Psalms 51 on steroids? Get the Passion Translation and read Psalms 51. Like, it is supercharged. And verse 7 reads like this. I believe it's verse 7 that I want to. Purify my conscience, make this leper clean again. This is David crying out over his sin and the separation it caused between him and the Lord. Just wash me in your love until I am pure in heart. Just wash me in your love until I'm pure in heart. See, when you're when you're struggling and you're under condemnation and you've probably, maybe the bad ones are when you deserve it. You're like, I really screwed up. Anybody have any of those I really screwed up moments? And it can be so overwhelming, you lose hope, like, how could I do this? How could I fail in this way? How could I lose my temper? How could I make that mistake? How could I, you know, do this with my mind? I mean, it doesn't matter what it is. It's just that same thing. It leaves you with this dread and this regret and this condemnation and this hopelessness that it can be fixed. Like, I always tell myself, you should have known better, Rick, you know. What were you thinking? And to understand that I can pray this prayer, this is what David turned to the Lord because he couldn't fix it. He couldn't take it back. Couldn't fix it. And he goes to the Lord and he goes to him and he realizes the only thing that's going to fix this is your love. Renew my mind. You know me. And he just starts praying. He writes out this psalm that is just wonderful. And he reaches out to that. The love of God, how much we need it. And the fourth thing that I want to talk about is I was so impacted this summer. It was the fall actually, because I remember where I was working in the back of my house and around my house when I'm listening to this, and I encounter Kevin, was it you? Sheep Among Wolves. There's a documentary, Sheep Among Wolves. That's right, isn't it? By FIA Ministries, they do this, and it's a documentary about the large, fastest growing church in the world, the Muslims in Iran, and the documentary and the study of these leaders and these people in this that are willing to lay down their lives, and they made this discovery as they researched and talked. Get that off, Jeannie. When phones go wild. You hit it, you get your little finger and you're poking at things and it's not working. You're like, what do I do with this? Should I sit on it? Will that help? I've had those moments. We all have, so yeah, we all know. Y'all do pretty good about turning your ringer. Like, we sell, just once in a while there's a glitch, but you know, every once in a while. They discovered something. This led to a real liberation of my heart. They discovered that converts, which is mostly what we create in America when it comes to Christianity, we create converts. We have our systems and our programs and our place, and we tailor our church services to making converts so we can, as a church, big church. Converts won't lay their life down for the gospel. Things have to be right. The music's got to be right. The temperature's got to be right. People got to be right. The pastor's really got to be right. The people sitting in the pew next to me have got to be right. Like, there are a lot of conditions. Converts, I don't like this. I don't like that. Life turned around. I have disappointments. This isn't what I prayed for. Da, da, da. It doesn't take much to get them disheartened and quit. And then we're working hard to keep converts coming, but there's something missing. And as a leader, and every leader does this, you start picking up this thing. We should change something. How do we get people back? How do we fill the room? How do we, what? You know, and you just have this whole backwards, upside down view of building the church and building the kingdom. But the people and the leaders in Iran, they're unnamed, their voices are masked. If you want to watch an amazing video, Sheep Among Wolves, you can YouTube it. It's really, really good. They discovered that disciples will die for the gospel. Converts will not die for their faith, but disciples will. And so their whole entire emphasis, this is so simple, it's so profound, their whole entire emphasis is on making disciples, but the burden is on the disciple, not on them. I'm here to lead you. I'm here to explain some things to you. And here's what they do. And this is like underground. They can't have a building. They can't meet in public. They can't let anybody know they're believers, or they will be killed and probably raped, man or woman, like brutally, brutalized. Everything's at risk here. I mean, when husbands and wife kiss, you know, like one of them are leaving on a trip or to go this, that kiss is, they have this awareness, it could be the last kiss. It could be the last time I see you. But they're willing to because they're disciples. Nothing takes precedence over following Jesus and spreading the gospel. Nothing. And you're like, oh, wow, 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 wow. And when they go out, and as they go out, they look, this is their terminology, they look for a man of peace. They look for a person who is hungry for the truth. They look for a person, and they look and try to identify through conversation or whatever they do, to look for who is looking and searching, and their guard is down. They're not angry anymore. They're looking. They're looking for the way. They're looking for the light. They're looking for the truth. And they pop the question, and it's got to be great risk. Have you seen the man in white? Because Jesus is going before them, appearing to them. But they don't know who they've seen. And you come along and you go, let me tell you who you've seen. Let me tell you about him. And they tell them about Jesus, and they don't lead them to the Lord like we do. They just direct them to Jesus and say, here, here's his words, here's his ways, follow him and do everything he says to do. No arguments, no classes. They don't have time for it. There's no place for it. They just instruct them and they direct them and they commission them to follow Jesus, to find Jesus, discover him, to hear his words and just start doing everything he says to do. And so you just do that. You don't like have this moment where you go, here, you know, I prayed the prayer, I did the thing, I call it formula Christianity, and it's fine. I don't want to tear it off the wall. Many of us probably started that way. But there's something so much more dynamic to become a disciple, a follower of Jesus. That's where all this argument will stop then. Like, well, I think you should be able to do this, this, and this. It's like, yeah, okay, go ahead, do that. Like they don't contend with people that don't want to follow. It's like, oh, okay. I'm not going to spend my time with you. I'm not going to waste my time with you. I'm not going to argue with you. If you don't want to follow, there's somebody over here that's hungry. I'm going to minister to you. Do you understand how much of our life is consumed with trying to get people to believe and trying to get people to do better and trying to, and I'm talking to other leaders all the time about this issue. And it's a real problem, and it ruins and wrecks our lives because we're carrying this stress, and you carry it for your children, you carry it for your loved ones, and God bless your heart. You love them. You want good for them. You want things to go well, but you're carrying something. They must choose themselves. They must own their stuff. They've got to own their life. They've got to own their mistakes. They've got to own their problems. They've got to come to an awareness all by themselves, I need a Savior. And if they want to change up the rules, just go, okay. It's not what I read. It's not what I see. Okay. Is that how, like, what a stress if you stop trying to fix everybody and stop trying to fix things and just be a disciple yourself. The most power you have of influence in your entire life is you be you and you walk. You follow Jesus with all of your heart. And when you recognize the compromise, deal with it. Fall on your face. Lord, I'm messing around here. I'm playing games here. I'm edging. I'm getting on the curb. I'm off the track a little bit. Like, you know what your convictions are. You know what's right. And this is how I'm even helping other leaders figure out their life. Instead of having answers, I always felt the stress to have answers, and I'm not a good whatever because I don't have answers for everybody. But I'm not supposed to have answers for you. I'm only supposed to be like the traffic cop. you know, like, where'd Jesus go? Well, he went that way. Follow him. Then follow him. I was talking to one of my pastor's friends that's been going through a really, really difficult trial for months, like torment. I finally had a heart-to-heart talk with this person. I said, what was the last thing that you heard from the Lord? Like, what was the last word? What was the last direction that you had? And he thought for a moment, and then he tells me a scripture. And the scripture, I forget the key word in the front, but it was this to breakthrough, and it was about like what was the first word?
Affliction.
Affliction that leads to breakthrough. Oh. I could just see the lights come on. Like, that explains some things. Like, that's the last word you had. That was the word, that's the journey you set on because the Spirit led you. And you're just in the affliction. Agreed? Agreed. That will lead to breakthrough. So get your eyes on the breakthrough that's coming. And he said, I felt it would last about 90 days. Yep, time's up. Ding. He was right there. And there was a shift. Are things perfect? No, that's not about that. It's about getting back on track and identifying, where did Jesus go? What's Jesus saying to you? And we've got to, I'm going to wrap up here real quickly. We must stop getting our eyes on all the other leaders, as good as they are. They're wonderful. But it always fails, doesn't it, Kevin? It always falls short of you having your own revelation, your own, like, be inspired. I love being open and hearing and receiving from people, but I still must have my walk. And I'm not called to be them. I'm called to be me. I'm called to be Jesus in a Rick suit. And you don't want me to be anything else, right? Honestly? If so, you're replaced, because I can't. As hard as I try sometimes to look like somebody else, you don't mean to, but that's what you're doing, and to sound like someone else, and to preach like someone else, and to walk like someone else, and to have the emphasis that someone else has, in the end, I find all of them that are free and successful are just being themselves. And following the Spirit and following revelation in their own life and coming to terms with being a disciple. Following Jesus. Isaiah, let me close with this. Isaiah 54, the Lord God has given me the tongue of a disciple of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as a disciple or as a learned one. That is your commission. To hear, to listen, to walk, to follow. You can do that. You can wake up every morning and start asking for the command. Instead of running from the commands and instruction from the Lord, I just dare you. Wake up and go, Jesus, what's the word today? What's the direction today? And give me grace to obey it, because I'm always not very good at it. You and I know that. I'm stubborn, I'm fearful, I'm reluctant, I second guess things, like, help me with that, but I'm going to keep asking, give me instruction today. How do I walk? Give me a word today so that I'm full, so that I encounter. My best days are days when I've gotten a word early in the morning. I get something, and man, I'll start, that scripture will pop up all day long. I'll be using that. I'll be speaking that word. No way of knowing what was coming, but my heart was prepared. I want to highlight, be a disciple. What we've learned from this year, let's just take it. What revelations have you had? What instructions have you had? Get back to that. Do that thing. Follow that thing. Don't look like me. Don't look like the person sitting beside you. Don't look like your favorite Bible teacher or church or whatever. Be you. Fulfill your destiny. I need you to do your part because I can't do your part. Remember the Christmas tree lights? If you haven't heard any of my Christmas messages this year, what's the beauty of the tree? The tiny lights. What's the beauty of a city at night? The tiny lights. And every light matters. It's the multitude of the lights. The beauty of the city is this multitude of lights arrayed in lights that are low, lights that are high, lights that are red, lights that are blue, lights that are white, lights that are... The beauty of it is the differences. But every bulb that's connected with Jesus shines. And there is life in the light. Let's pray. Father, I just want to bring this meeting to a close today. Just thank you for a revelation, all the revelations you've given us, the words you've given us. And I just ask for grace on every person's life to identify the last thing we were told. Stir up dreams, stir up songs, stir up the stuff in our hearts. Let us be grateful. Let gratefulness and thankfulness just lets the flow. Praise just lets the flow. It stirs up the waters in us. It stirs up the water. It's so simple. It doesn't matter what's in the past. It doesn't matter what our present even looks like. Today we can start. Today we can be in this. Today we can tap into this. Today we can make that choice to hear from you. And most importantly, I just want to be a disciple. I want to follow you, and I will walk through my days with confidence that you're pleased with me because I'm hard after you. I'm to the best of my ability, I'm following. With my mistakes, my stumblings, my dirty knees, my brokenness, I'm following. I'm following the star. I'm following the light. I am becoming the light like you asked me to be. So God, give us grace. Thank you for this year. Even the trials in it made us better and gave us direction. We just thank you for this new year coming. I ask that you continue to bless every household and every life here in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may.